Welcome back to another episode of Busy Season Talks, the podcast where we dive deep into the world of accounting, change, and the people making waves in our profession. Today's guest is someone I'm genuinely excited to speak with. She's not only an advocate for the next generation of accountants, but also the founder of Firm Ready, a platform that helps junior professionals transition smoothly into the real world of practice. Joining us from the other side of the world, Australia, please welcome Joanna, a fellow change maker, creator, and a passionate voice for transformation in our profession. We're talking today about the challenges and opportunities for young professionals, what firms can do better, and how we can build a global accounting community that actually retains its talent. Let's get into it.
Hey, Joanna, how are you doing? Joining from Australia, what time is it there?
It's 5:09 p.m. exactly. So after hours. But yeah, I'm doing really well, thank you. I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, I'm calling in from Europe, the Netherlands. There, the Busy Season Talks is there. And it was quite funny how we actually got introduced, right?
Yeah, the power of LinkedIn. I think, that platform has been a blessing to me over the past 6 months. That's how I've connected with everyone that I know in Europe. And we were connected with a director from PwC in Dubai.
Dubai, yeah. It's funny how small the world of our profession can actually be if you have nice friends and contacts all around the world. So someone in Dubai actually linked me to you and said, you really need to talk with Joanna because she's really into this. You definitely like it. And then, you got WeChat and LinkedIn. And a couple of weeks later, here we are.
Yeah, it's a full circle moment.
We're going to talk about the young professionals this session, but before we do that, Joanna, take us back. How did your journey into this profession begin?
Well, if I go back to the olden days, from a young age, I always knew that I wanted to be a business owner. And I say that I genuinely thought that I was going to be a millionaire by the time I was 18. Obviously, I was 18 and I knew I was very naive, but my father was actually a partner and a director of an accounting firm here in Sydney, Australia. He grew his firm to about 100 employees and it still operates today, but he retired a long time ago. And he always said to me, if you want to be a successful business owner, you really need the fundamentals to be able to do so, and accounting will get you there. So I listened to him and I went into the industry as soon as I graduated school. I got a graduate role at a small firm. Sorry, I started with a sole trader and then I went into a smaller firm and I absolutely loved it. I thought it was a cheat code to basically uncovering how businesses operate and understanding numbers and the language of business. So I kept growing in my profession and climbing the corporate ladder for a while. I was also obsessed with education from a young age. I had a tutoring business growing up while I was working full-time in the accounting industry. I had 50 students at one point, and what was a lot, I was teaching math and English. So I did very well at school, so I thought I may as well pass on the knowledge. And that's where my passion for education was sparked. I absolutely loved seeing the transformation of young people. From some of the students that I had were for a whole five-year period. So really, I was growing with them. And I wasn't just their teacher, but I was also their mentor as well. They would come to me not only with math questions, but also life problems. And I loved being able to shape them to, and be a catalyst for the people they are today. And yeah, that's where my passion for education started. And so I continued in the industry. I went from a sole trader firm to a mid-tier firm. Then I went to a bit of a larger firm and I did compliance work in business services and also corporate advisory. And yeah, absolutely loved it. Earlier this year, I made the transition out of my firm and I started Firm Ready, which is a community platform for junior accountants to help them upskill and get ready for their corporate environment or their first job in accounting. I wanted to develop this because I realized when I was in public practice, the junior accountants that would come through were very unprepared. They didn't really know what to do. And they required a lot of help to be able to speak to clients and do all the basic things. So I thought there's a bit of an opportunity here to be able to help these young people. So I thought I just took it on myself to start something from there.
Nice, nice. But maybe before we further dive into Firm Ready, why the accounting industry?
I just thought it was a cheat code to be able to understand numbers and the engineering of a business. I thought, yeah, I wanted to be a business owner. I wanted to be an entrepreneur. So I thought this was the perfect gateway.
Yeah, because you already knew a lot of accountants, auditors back when you were doing your tutoring business, or you had a network there.
Yeah. Well, I was working, I built my tutoring business on the side when I was working in practice. But I come from a family of accountants anyway. So my father was an accountant. So when someone that close to you is an accountant, you usually follow their path.
And maybe let's dive in back to that period. How was it? Because a lot of people already have difficulty starting their career and getting used to a big firm, work-life, etc. And you were starting your entrepreneurial journey together with it, right? So how do you look back into those days?
I mean, it was extremely hard. I would wake up at 6 a.m, start work, and then for about 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I would be tutoring until about 9, 10 p.m. So there wasn't work-life balance at all. I really loved tutoring, and I knew, and it didn't really feel like a job. So working long hours, it didn't really faze me. And I knew that it was providing not only teaching skills for myself, but I was really making impact in what I was doing. So there was no work-life balance. My work was my life at that point. But yeah.
And how did you compare, you know, you were choosing yourself at the same time you started at a business, in the business, and you had experienced colleague tutoring you as well to get into the business you were working. How do you experience that and the way they did it?
The way that people were mentoring me and educating me. The way that education was presented to me in public practice wasn't my favorite in the early stages. So I felt like training was very segregated. There wasn't specific training for junior staff. So when I would go into the monthly tax training sessions or the monthly business session, the work that they were presenting to us was catered to seniors or managers. And it was very hard to comprehend what they were talking about and very hard to apply the content practically because it was just too beyond me at a junior stage. So I went into my last firm I went into, they were very innovative with their training approach. They were much more collaborative. So they put us into groups. So the junior people would be in one room and the senior people would be in another, managers in another. And it was more of a collaborative approach. So we would be teaching each other in a way and we'd just have someone in the room just leading us in the right direction. I thought that was the best form of training that they could ever provide because yeah, and not many firms are doing that. But yeah, I didn't really have a great relationship with the training and accounting firms growing up.
And how did you, maybe also for tips and tricks for the listeners, how did you manage having that business at the side and having a full-time job? And how did you arrange that with the place you were working?
Every place that I've been working with, they've been very flexible in terms of, they just want output and then you can be flexible with your times. As long as you get your timesheets done, as long as you complete the work that you're meant to by the end of the day, an hour here and an hour there is fine. But I would always be really good in terms of, you know, the hours that I would work. I'd start really early and get as much as I could done throughout the day. I'd work on weekends if I needed to. But I would have like 4 tutoring sessions a night, and then I would run workshops and seminars on the weekend. So it wasn't too bad.
Nice.
But I loved the idea that I was doing tutoring as well because I thought I could use those skills mentoring the junior accountants in their firm.
And then, okay, you decided, okay, I like this. Now I'm going to make a full-time business out of this. And you make the step and you founded Firm Ready.
Well, initially, with the tutoring business, that just really sparked my love for education. I decided that I wanted to, after all my students had really grown up, and I really wanted to just hone in on my accounting career and just climb that corporate ladder. So I stopped the tutoring about a year ago, actually, not that long ago now. Obviously, I had an itch for business again after that. But yeah, I went into just working full-time, putting my head down for a year in my last firm. And then I was just doing that. And then earlier this year, I transitioned and realized there was an opportunity and a problem that needed to be solved. And yeah, I just started to step out and do that earlier this year.
Can you tell me something more about the opportunity and the problem you're solving now?
Well, the problem I'm solving now is there's a few different ones. So all the content that I post on social media is working to attract the next generation of accountants. Obviously, that industry is evolving, but the public perception isn't really keeping up. So I post a lot of content now, which I've started to monetize, which is great. Just really making the industry look more attractive. And also, Firm Ready focuses on the skills gap between that. So in the early stages of your accounting career, AI has now come in, or firms are switching to offshoring. So then there's not really a demand for junior accountants. And when they do get junior accountants in, they're not able to equip them with the necessary skills and trainings that they need to be able to thrive in their role. And as after that, the junior accountants will get very disheartened and they think, you know, they're not good enough because they haven't been given the proper training. So that's where we come in. We step in there and help these junior accountants
understand. Maybe let's dive into that gap because indeed, when you look at audit firms, when I started 12, 13 years ago, I had a couple of months to do very simple work. I was auditing cash, debtors, invoices, those type of things. I had samples like 50, 100 items. We were all working with our clients, with colleagues. I got a lot of coaching. And by doing that, you had actually a couple of years time to get used to the environment and working busy season, etc. It was hard work, but it was nice because you had colleagues around you. You had the time to digest all the information and also being in touch with your client and colleagues. Nowadays, a portion of that work is outsourced because demographic issues, also automated because we have a lot of nice tools now which can automate the easy stuff, and software is helping tremendously. Mm-hmm. When you start as a fresh joiner, you're really swimming in the first couple of months because you will need to audit more complex areas and you will directly go to the client maybe on your own having difficult discussions, but you just started from college, right?
Mm. Yeah, you don't have the fundamentals to be able to adapt baseline knowledge that you need in the industry now.
Did you also, you know, do you have contact with those young people? How do these conversations go with them around these type of topics?
Yeah, 100%. I think I've had, we were looking, when we were hiring junior accountants at the previous firm that I was working for, they would come in and they would have to start with business advisory when they haven't had any experience in compliance work. So crunching all the numbers and understanding how the numbers, you know, when the numbers change in the balance sheet, how it reflects the P&L, tax versus, you know, accounting reconciliations, like it's all very different. And by not understanding the fundamentals, you're not able to advise on those numbers. So they would come in and they were really trying to start at, you know, level 5 instead of level 1. So they just really wanted the support. They wanted the support to be able to, they wanted someone to just take them through step by step to be able to catch up. And yeah, that's all they really wanted, but it was support and guidance.
Yeah, the support and guidance. And how are you solving that now? So can you tell me about the steps you're taking to help young joiners or fresh graduates with their development journey?
Yeah, so we've got a community under Firm Ready umbrella, and we offer free community. So whether it's like a WhatsApp discussion group, we have a newsletter going out every week, giving young people updates on the industry and breaking down all the new legislation and compliance in very easy language. They can understand it from their level. So that way, when they go into a firm and that issue comes to the table, they're able to understand what it is rather than pretending that they know and then get too overwhelmed. So
okay.
But we do a lot of that. And then we also run training sessions with firms and webinars purely to the junior accountant. And We help them in so many different soft skills areas like communication, showing up at work, how your manager reviews your work and how you need to prepare your work to send across, and the communication with clients versus communication with key stakeholders, navigating your workplace environment, and a whole bunch of different areas of...
Okay.
But so the portion is you develop a lot of content as a sort of thought leader. You follow the trends and have contact directly with young people that are still studying?
Yeah. Well, they're either still studying. They're either within their first 1 to 5 years in practice, or they're either career switchers. So maybe they're 30 or 40 years old, but wanting to change careers and start in accounting. So anyone that's very early in their accounting career.
Yeah. And can you tell some more insights of what that young generation or people that want to go maybe in accounting, what they think, how they feel?
Well, so initially, they don't see the value in the accounting profession. We really need to communicate the value of what the accounting skills can actually do for them. So when we do communicate, they're convinced that accounting is a good career path to be able to achieve whatever they want. So they see it as a vessel in a way. They want to, some of the things that I say to young people, I say, okay, what do you want to be? And they say, you know, I want to go into government. Okay, how are you going to get there? And they have no idea. But almost every single time I can say accounting is a really good career gateway to achieve what it is you want to achieve. By communicating the value of the industry, they like the sound of it, really. And they want to give it a go. So, yeah. And
so I was like thinking as well that the new generation was like, hey, I want to make impact, save the world, those type of things. But it's also much more, I just want to have a good job. I want to have a good beginning of my career.
They want to have a good job. They want to become entrepreneurs. They say, originally I thought over 60% of young people want to become entrepreneurs, but I read a article about 30 minutes before I jumped on this call, and it was about 75% of people surveyed in an ACCA report said that they wanted to be entrepreneurs, and they use the accounting as a gateway. And they also want to make impact for whatever they're doing. So they want to know that what they're doing today is going to make an impact tomorrow, whether that's for themselves, society, or their clients. They want to see the impact of what they're doing.
What do you tell them then? Okay, I understand that, but there are multiple sectors. You can also go into technology or other type of, but how do you convince them that going to accounting will actually give them the necessary skill set or network to make that impact, to be an entrepreneur? Because when I think, I'm now an entrepreneur myself, but I didn't thought when I was younger that going into accounting would give me the basis to be an entrepreneur, to be honest.
Yeah. So I really tell them that the accounting industry is a launch pad and it opens up. So a lot of people think that the accounting industry, every single year that you're serving in practice, your breadth of opportunity just decreases because you end up niching in a specific specialization, like audit, tax, but they don't realize that by having those fundamentals, your breadth of opportunity actually increases, and it's the complete opposite because our role is evolving and the skills required to be able to succeed in our role is changing. So really, it's just opening up a whole bunch of opportunities. And, you know, if you're an accountant, you can go into finance or you can go into consulting. Not many people in finance or consulting can become an accountant. So it's just, I think there's been a lack of communication over the past few decades and lack of marketing. And now young people are coming in with different characteristics. They're very much more values driven. They're very mobile first. They love technology. So we need to be able to adapt to their wants and needs and build a culture that is really open to their new desires, because otherwise we're not going to be able to attract these young people and grow.
Do you think also, so you're filling in the gap between the university and first firm, right? Why do you think that the university is falling short? Should the university develop the
Belgrade graduate better, helping prepare them more for the working life? Where do you think they could do better?
I think they can implement more practical skills training and more real life project work, because that's how life is really. It's not just theory based. We're working on in terms of projects and on different clients. So, you know, maybe even having business case studies, for example, as their final assessment, rather than thinking, you know, trying to memorize all the content. And I know a lot of universities in Australia have started to implement more entrepreneurship programs, which is absolutely fantastic. And the results from that are much more effective than what's happening now in the industry, in universities. I think the fundamentals are still very, very important, because without fundamentals, you won't be able to do any of the harder stuff. But I think there could be more emphasis on business acumen, the soft skills training, and everything in between that's becoming more of a necessity.
And then, of course, they start to apply. And where do you think that the firms are failing it currently?
The firms that may not be doing so well to attract young people are the ones that aren't innovating in terms of their culture and aren't really addressing the barriers to entry in the accounting profession. I think one of the biggest barriers to entry would be the compensation crisis. So I read a study, Advanced Track, which is a UK-based company, did a study, and they compared average partner salaries across small, mid-tier and partner firms across the past 20 years. And partner firms have increased partner salaries in mid-tier to partner to larger firms have increased about 200 to 300% in the past, above inflation, in the past 25 years. Which is great, because, you know, partners should be getting fairly compensated for what they do. However, we don't see that same trend at a graduate level. At a graduate level, the salaries have stayed consistent with inflation, and they haven't increased, just like how partner salaries have increased. And the salary at a graduate level is still at least, you know, 20,000 Australian dollars or 10,000 euros below market. So I know when I was thinking of going into the accounting industry, I was looking at graduate salaries and I saw that finance or consulting or tech was paying at least, you know, 20,000 Australian or 10,000 euros more than what I would be getting in accounting.
My experience is, for example, in the Netherlands, in Europe, but also read some articles about this, that 10, 15, 20 years ago, the accounting industry, when you actually started at a large firm, you had a very good competitive salary as a young professional.
In the accounting industry?
Yeah, compared to other professions like in tech or like in the business, in the accounting industry, your salary was quite competitive. But you're saying that's actually have deteriorated in the past years.
It's definitely deteriorated over time. It's definitely getting better, maybe over the past year or two. But overall, when we look at this trends and statistics, it hasn't increased much beyond inflation, and it's still very low compared to other industries. And that was based on the Advanced Track study that was done.
One of your messages, the firm, compensate better.
Yeah, match competitive salaries. And if you can't afford to match competitive salaries, then and provide value in another way, whether that be networking opportunities, opportunities to maybe public speaking, opportunities, give them a really solid gateway to partnership. Provide value beyond just compensation. So one, you can retain them, and two, they can just be happy in their job.
So Joanna, we have discussed about compensation. I think that's a very fair and valid point. What's next? Where are companies more failing in?
I think in terms of technology as well, where they've implemented technology in their firm. Young people now, they're very mobile first, and they can get anything they want from a click of their button on the phone. So if they want a podcasting app, for example, they can just go into the app store and download it. Everything is so quick and easy and efficient for them. So when they go to work, they really don't want to be using outdated systems that disturb that flow. And they want to be able to work efficiently and, yeah, in a modern way. So I think being able to implement technology in those lower level tasks to eliminate the drudgery of it in a way, we can make their job more exciting and more dynamic as well. So I think that's another area.
I can imagine you have a lot of amazing technology nowadays. So the technology you're also using daily, your iPhone, all the apps you're doing for booking your holidays, it all works seamlessly. When the step actually to accounting software, you experience that it's not that good, right? Not that intuitive. So there are a lot of nice startups that actually having nice, good, intuitive, modern technology, but a lot of firms are having difficulties to adapt that and process that into their processes. But you want to stay competitive, your messages, make sure you have that intuitive, modern tooling, because that's what the young people actually like.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think I acknowledge that it is hard for accounting firms because AI and technology is still in, you know, the very early stages when you think about it. So it's very hard to do something for 20 plus years and then having to change like that. It would be very hard as a director or a partner. So I completely acknowledge that. But even, you know, just changing the fundamentals, like, you know, manual entry journals and, you know, client emails and seeing how you can help young people integrate AI into their daily life. I think encouraging it rather than not doing anything about it, I think would be.
Yeah, you can also start simple, right? So for example, I know a lot of companies still do not use transcription software, note-taking software, because they think maybe it's not that safe, etc. But asking a fresh joiner who has during his study used these types of technology and you actually then start that work, you get away and then you need to take notes for 2 hours and make, how do you call the minutes of that?
Yeah.
That for me, if I was used to the technology now we have, it would be a nightmare to actually go back. It would feel like going back into the Stone Age.
Yeah, it really would be. I could not imagine a world without AI transcription or ChatGPT or any of the other large language models out there. So it's,
Well, accounting firms do not have that processed into their processes in a safe way yet. I know. And I think that's a very important one, not only to be more effective, make more impact, but you're also saying if you want to have the new generation satisfied within your firm. We have another one. So we have also discussed the technology.
I think the opportunities within your firm as well. So for example, you know, a young person doesn't really want to stay in the same role forever. They want to have that opportunity and the flexibility to move between different departments and get a full get full experience in everything. For example, if, you know, you could create a pathway, go into business services for 2 years and then maybe do a secondment into audit, maybe 1 or 2 days a week. So having that flexibility within the workplace to understand every aspect of the business, even working in the operations department to see how, you know, technology is implemented across the firm. So having a 360 view of the firm that you're working for creates the idea of that young person to be so ingrained in that business and therefore doesn't really want to leave because they understand it so well, every single aspect of it. And yeah, they just enjoy working there as a result. So
I can imagine if you only just work in one silo and you did that for multiple of years, especially in changing world, I can imagine you can feel yourself like a cog in a big machine. And when you're actually switching around different departments, you will understand the whole business. And as an OM, you also feel yourself more part of that business and the vision of leadership, etc.
100%. For example, at my last firm that I was working for, I was in business services and I was doing that for a while, but I was writing articles online and posting them. I took an interest in just writing about the industry and posting content. So the managing director of the firm said to me, well, do you want to be engaged with the new PR team that they're getting? Do you want to do some content for the firm? Do you want to, you know, speak at events? And do you want to step outside into the media space for maybe 1 or 2 days a week? And honestly, that was the best thing ever because I'm a very creative person. I make content online almost full time now. And I just love the fact that he saw that in me and he wanted to he really wanted to leverage that. So it's really just listening to your employees and understanding them for who they are and what their interests are. I think that extra bit of detail and understanding about them will make them feel seen, and they will really value and respect you as a boss or director because of that.
I listened to a keynote a while ago, and that person was talking about job crafting. And job crafting is a way that you actually craft your job within the environment you're working. So you do 3 days, you're doing your accounting work, and then one day you do all kinds of events. Maybe you do public speaking for your firm, and then one day a week you do maybe some marketing for your company. And you actually, the idea behind it is you build your dream job yourself, because that actual dream job does not exist as a job, the scripted job. So you need to build that with Lego parts, like yourself, with puzzle pieces yourself.
We need to figure it out like that, exactly.
In order to do that, that firm needs to have an open mind about that, right? So they should be able to process that into their systems and actually happy with that, and not only saying, yeah, you need to make 1800 hours a year to get an okay score to go to the next job level.
Yeah, completely agree. And I think that's why I have so much respect for my previous accounting firm, because they really invested in me. And I look at them, no bad blood or anything. It was just, I have a very good perception of them, and we still work with each other to this day. And that's all you can really ask for. I think that is an extremely important trait that accounting firms should have to retain their junior staff.
It is a difficult though. It's a process. It's not a thing you can actually, I think, achieve in a couple of months. Transition your company in a way that you can be so dynamic that you can switch around jobs all of the time.
Yeah, no, I completely understand that. But it's small steps, and all those. A lot of people want to stay in the same role for a long time. Not everyone wants to have that dynamic role. So just finding the people that do, and then you don't have to get them to switch roles maybe once a week or once every 6 months. It's, you know, whatever works with them, and everyone has to come to a decision together. And it would, if that discussion is there, I think is the first step.
And what's your advice for, so we've now touched the coffee points, so what companies can do better. What's your tips for the young generation? Can you share a few with our listeners?
My skills, my advice for the young generation is upskill, 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 upskill. Everything from communication, because you can only go as far as you can communicate, and really just educate yourself with the way the world is moving, because you never know, where it could take you, for example. And just, really take action, no matter what stage of your life or your business you're in, whether you're still working at a firm, just really take action and show initiative, because you become valued and you become trusted. And that's how you're going to build long-lasting relationships and a really good network within your industry. And that's how you're going to get opportunities in the future.
And with upskill, you also mean, the company you're working for is offering you all kinds of, education, etc. But that's not enough, because maybe they're not also fast enough to comprehend everything what's happening now in the world, like AI technology. So you need to invest outside of your working hours also personally in upskilling, upskilling, upskilling. That's what I understand from your message.
Yeah, I would say even just track, you don't even have to invest, for example. When I wanted to work on my communication skills, I was a very nervous person many years ago, because all I was doing was, working, and I didn't really socialize as much. So to get better at my communication skills, I would reach out to someone once a week on LinkedIn and ask them to go out for a coffee, right? So just sitting with someone new or someone random, whether it's, in person at a cafe or over Zoom, I really got over the fear of speaking to people. And that's how I invested in my communication. And so you don't really have to spend money to do it. You're really paying with your time. And when you're a junior, you have all the time in the world. So do what you can to build your networks, do what you can to build those soft skills, because no matter when you use it in your career, it's going to serve you.
Actually, communication skills, when you talk with experienced people, they say nowadays, the younger generation, because they were too busy with their phones, with chatting, with media, they have actually forgot how you should communicate very well in real life. Is that really a thing, or is it just complaining by the older generation on the new?
I think young people have a new way of communicating. And because communicating online is so prominent, they don't really know how to navigate a corporate environment as well and speaking corporate language in a way. I don't think they've lost communication skills. I think they need to try and find it in a way and just enhance it, because, I mean, part of the reasons why I started Firm Ready was because when young graduates came in, you know, in my last term, they couldn't really write an email to clients. They didn't know how to start the email. They didn't really know what to say. And everything, when they typed out their thoughts, it was very jarring. It wasn't succinct. So that was one of the situations where I felt the need to be able to teach young people communication skills. But yeah, I do think because of the new way that the new method of communication, and it's very mobile first, young people are gradually need to put in more effort to be able to speak in real life, for sure.
Okay, nice. Do you have another example of a competence where you say young people, you really practice with that to be successful in your corporate career?
Yeah, even putting your hand up to present at monthly meetings and to maybe present an award, or maybe to give an introduction of what the agenda for the meeting. Ask to sit in client meetings as well, because then you can get an understanding of how these experienced professionals are communicating and what level they're communicating at and what the standard is for what you should be doing at that level in your career. Getting around as many people as possible and listening to them and understanding them is probably the best way to do it. Listening to podcasts as well, how people converse with each other. There's so many practical and free ways that you can really enhance your communication skills. The best one would just to be, yeah, connect with people, have a conversation over coffee. I think that's the most important way.
And I can imagine, but I also can imagine that this is first time presenting. It has a lot of anxiety in it, right? Especially if you're a more introvert person. Still, a lot of colleagues around me that find it very difficult to do these type of things. Do you have a tip for those type of people?
It's going to be hard. It's going to be very hard, and you're going to feel sick doing it. But it only gets easier, and no progress comes from, you know, the best progress comes from being uncomfortable. Back in the day when I was very young, when I would meet up with new people, I would feel sick. I would almost, you know, want to cancel because I just couldn't do it. But, you know, I wanted to get over that fear, and by just doing it and doing it again and again and again, your level of fear reduces and you just become more of a confident person. So, and also upskilling as well really reinforces that confidence inside of you. If you're able to communicate your thoughts and feelings and ideas and numbers in accounting, if you're able to communicate that very succinct, then you're just going to have confidence showing up in a meeting or in a boardroom, because you know that you know what you're talking about.
Joanna, we're almost at the end of our podcast. How can people follow you? Because you write a lot. It's for younger people, etc. How do we follow you you and your journey? And what can we learn from you?
You can follow me on LinkedIn. I think that's the place where I publish most. And I'm just going to be talking about how we can make the accounting industry great again and how we can encourage more young people to come in. Because as a young person, I feel like I can really understand and speak to these young people. And if you can use me as a vessel for it, then I'm the happiest person ever. So yeah, connect with me on LinkedIn. I post regularly articles, my thoughts, my ideas. I've got a personal website, joannaperry.com.au. And I also have the Firm Ready website, firmready.co. And yeah, I post updates there all the time. So you can catch me there.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Do you have a final message for our listeners?
Final message for listeners would be to work together, because collaborative decision-making and a collaborative approach to this accounting talent shortage issue would be the only way that we can solve it. And young talent is everything within the industry. So if we can really foster them and engage them, then we will be able to have a prosperous industry. So let's all work together.
Thank you. Thank you, Anna. Thank you for attending this podcast from Australia. we're really looking forward to read and hear more of you. So I will definitely follow you. That's it for today's episode of Busy Season Talks. Huge thanks to Joanna for sharing her story, her insights, and her energy with us. If you're a young accountant trying to find your place, or a firm leader wondering how to keep your talent from walking out the door, there's a lot to think about in this conversation. Follow Joanna on LinkedIn and check out Firm Ready for more great resources. We will add this to the show notes. And if you like today's episode, please share it with your team, subscribe, and leave us a review. Until next time, stay curious, stay kind, and keep talking.
Thank you very much for having me.